for that privilege. So before I get into the message today, I have to talk to you about something. At the end of the sermon service, we're going to take communion. Last time we took communion, it was traumatic for some of you. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. But I buy these rice crackers because of gluten-free problems, you know, for us to have for communion. And somehow last month when I did communion, I usually buy the original plain rice crackers. I slipped a bag of wasabi flavored ones in there by accident. Sorry, I didn't do it on purpose. And so several people that were taking communion had a very amazing experience, like pain and suffering. So I apologize. I didn't want you to stay there and not take communion today because you were afraid what it was going to taste like. These are regular, no wasabi today, okay? So don't worry about communion at the end. But it was memorable. It really was, yes. In our series of looking at heroes of faith, we're going to look at a woman today. How about that? We haven't done that. We're going to look at a lady named Ruth. I've been amazed as I've read this story in the book of Ruth about this lady. She is a remarkable woman, really one of the most remarkable pictures in the scripture of a person of faith and how she lived out her life and how she demonstrated the love of God. It's a great picture. So we're going to work our way through this. I'm going to start by reading chapter 1, and then if you'll keep your Bibles open, we're going to refer to some other scriptures because we're kind of in a very fast way going to go through the whole book, but we're not going to read all the scriptures, but we're going to set it up with looking at chapter 1 in the book of Ruth. So stand as we read God's word, and we'll get started in this story. It says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraites and from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughter-in-laws prepared to return home from there. With her two daughter-in-laws, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness if you've shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud, and she said to them, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why do you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband, even if I thought there was still hope for me. Even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods, go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Lord Almighty has brought misfortune on me." Say, Naomi returned from Moabite, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Lord, thank you for your word. and this story in the scripture of this woman of faith. And we pray that you'll speak to our hearts today as we take some time to look at this, your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We'll read on a little bit as we go through here in the book of Ruth. We see in each chapter a little bit of a story. And in chapter one, we see faith to deal with life's difficulties. We can see as we go through here that Ruth and Naomi are having a tough time. It's not easy. It's not easy days for these people. Naomi from Israel had moved to Moab with her husband and sons. And this whole story happens in the time of the Judges. If you're wondering how it fits into the Bible, Ruth is right after Judges. It is in the time of the Judges that this story happens. Her sons had married girls from Moab while they're there. And while they're there in Moab, her husband dies and her two sons die. So Ruth and Naomi are left in a tough situation. The first thing that we see is Ruth showed courage to move off after her loss. It's not just Naomi that lost people. Ruth lost some people. She lost her father-in-law. She lost her husband. Now, in that day, to be a widow was a sad, sad situation to be a widow. The widows were the poorest of the poor. The widows had no way to support themselves, almost no way. They were very poor, poor people. So Ruth is dealing with this loss of not only her husband, but the loss of income, the way to support herself. So she's faced with what many people are faced with. What do you do after a loss? I mean, grief is normal. And it's normal and it's good to grieve when there's a loss. But you can't stay there forever. And Ruth is a good example to us, had the courage to move on to the next chapter of her life. She didn't stay immobilized by that grief. She moved on. The next thing that we see about this remarkable woman is that she showed love to care for her mother-in-law. Naomi is her mother-in-law. Now, I'm sure that Naomi is a wonderful person because she influenced Ruth, and Ruth really loves her. But you get a picture here that she might not be the easiest person to live with. Nothing against Naomi, but you see when you read the scripture that she's angry at God. She's mad at God. She's not handling the grief near as well as Ruth is. She's angry at God and bitter that God took her husband and sons away. And so that, if you know people that get angry at God, it affects you and how you live and your attitude and your spirit. But yet, even though Naomi has these struggles, Ruth loves her. Naomi decides to go back to Bethlehem because the famine's over, and the two daughter-in-laws start with her, but she tells them, no, don't go with me, go home. Stay in Moab where you'll get married and have kids and have a family. Don't go with me. One of them decides to go back, Orpah. She goes back, but Ruth will not go back. And she says this famous line. You hear this line a lot at weddings, but it wasn't given at a wedding. She says, where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. An expression of this love that Ruth had for her mother-in-law, insisting to stay with her and go with her. This sacrificial love. There's a scripture in James that says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So looking after widows is something that God's on God's heart. And here we have a widow deciding to look after a widow. I mean, Ruth has her own problems, her own challenges, but she decides to love and look after this widow, her mother-in-law. We see that Ruth showed faith to leave her native country. Ruth is ready to leave the only place that she's known and move to the land of Israel. She's from the land of Moab, and that is, if you see the map there, it is the purple one up there, right across from the Dead Sea. I don't know if there's any of the people that went with me to Israel last spring here in the service, but we stayed one night on the Dead Sea, right across from the land of Moab, across the sea there. That is where she has to come from. That's her home. So Ruth had the faith to leave that, what is home, her native land, what is comfortable, what is predictable, what is normal, to go to a new land where she would be a stranger and a foreigner. That took some faith. And we see that often in the Bible, God calling people to leave the comfortable, to go where he's calling them to go. And Ruth showed faith to do that. She also showed wisdom to trust in God. It says there that she made a confession there that your God will be my God. Now, Ruth from Moab, the Moabites had a terrible false religion. They worshiped the false god Chemosh, and it was a terrible, if you study it, it is terrible. It was just terrible stuff, including child sacrifice. Terrible stuff that they did there. So Ruth chose to leave that and place her faith in the Lord God, the God of Israel. Through the influence of Naomi, the influence of the family, she learned about the Lord God, the true God, and she placed her faith in the true God, the Lord God. Wisdom to trust in God. This will guide the rest of her life. Ruth will become a woman of faith. This story, one of the things that this story tells us is that God loves everybody, not just the Jewish people. He loves the people of Moab. He wanted to save Ruth, and Ruth was saved. She was converted. She became a believer. She trusted in God. God loves everybody, no matter where they're from, in what country, what nation. The other thing about Ruth is she showed sacrificial love to serve another. She's a great example of this sacrificial, unselfish love. It would have been much easier for her to stay in Moab. Much easier to stay in Moab and settle in her home country and get married and settle down. Naomi gave her permission to stay. But because of her love for Naomi, she chose to go and help her mother-in-law. Do you understand when in doing this, she's laying down her life? She really is. She's laying down her future to serve her mother-in-law. Instead of what maybe she wants or what she needs, she's forgetting about it and going to serve her mother-in-law who is grieving and in need. Now, we know the rest of the story because we know that Ruth's life's going to turn out good. She doesn't know that. She's really sacrificing her life for the sake of her mother-in-law. She's a good example of the agape love of God, that unselfish, sacrificial love of God that he shows towards us. 1 John 3:16 said, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. That's what we can see Ruth doing here, really laying down her life for her mother-in-law. Ruth also showed perseverance to deal with poverty. widows were the poor of the poor, with no real way to provide for themselves. And she is linking herself with another widow who also doesn't have any way to provide for herself. What a pair, right? Two widows, both poor, don't have any. And so they're going to have to deal with this poverty issue. And they do. Now, we know it's going to turn out good in the end, but they're going to have to work with this and show perseverance working through this poverty. It's interesting, all the way through the story of Ruth, you never see Ruth complaining at all. Doesn't complain. Doesn't blame God. She's just faithful, trusting God. She also has the tenacity to put up with prejudice. She's going to be a foreigner in Israel. Now, the Moabites, if you study the history in the Bible, they were the hated enemy of Israel. Moabites are descendants of Lot, Abraham's nephew Lot, but they became hated enemies of Israel. They were always fighting against them. They didn't like them. So the Jewish people didn't like the Moabites. And now here this Moabite foreigner is going to move into Bethlehem. You can bet she's going to face some opposition, some prejudice, some people that don't like her being there. This Moabite woman that comes to live here. But she's putting up with all of this because, again, of her love for her mother-in-law. Well, in chapter 2, we see a story of the grace of God demonstrated to us, and I'm going to read a few verses from chapter 2. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but to help us with the story, I'm going to read the first 12 verses of chapter 2. It says, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, whose young woman is that? The foreman replied, she is the Moabitess who came from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me, don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I've told the men not to touch you. Now, whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me a foreigner? Boaz replied, I've been told all about all you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your mother and father and your homeland and came to live with the people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. So Ruth and Naomi get to Bethlehem. And the first thing we see is Ruth worked hard to provide. She volunteered. Naomi didn't ask her to do this. She volunteered to go work in the fields. Now, the only way that a widow can really get anything is to go glean in the fields. It was allowed in the law of Israel that when you harvested grain, you were supposed to leave some behind for people who were poor to get some. That was one of the laws. So for a widow to get some food, that's how they had to do it. And it says here that she worked from morning till night. Now, I grew up on a farm. We didn't have wheat. We grew alfalfa. And I worked out in the fields harvesting hay a lot of a day when it's hot and there's no shade. It is miserable out there working in the hot sun all day long or part of a day. She did it all day long. I can't imagine that. Gleaning, looking for those little bits of grain that are left over. Hard-working woman doing what she had to do, but she did it. She also is, there's a picture of the of what it might have looked like. I mean, I'm just thinking about the up-downs. Bending down, you know, 1,000 times in a day. I mean, that'll wear you out. It's good exercise. That's how she did it, trying to get the few little pieces of grain that are left over. But Boaz offered her grace to work in his fields. He noticed that she was there. Boaz is a relative of Naomi, Naomi's husband, Elimelech. He's a wealthy man, a landowner, a good man, a moral man with a kind heart. He found out that Ruth was there and asked who she was and gave her permission to work in his fields. And she's surprised. And she says, why would you show such kindness to me, a foreigner? And he told her, you know, I've heard about what you've done for Naomi. But in this whole story, you see a picture because this is a foreigner that's come to Bethlehem. Normally, they wouldn't allow or permit the foreigner maybe to do this, but Boaz is letting her do it. Even though it's not deserved, it is grace. She says, you know, why have I found such favor in your eyes? And that's a definition of grace. The favor that's given to us by God. And here, she's enjoying this grace from from Boaz. Boaz also offered her safety. He said, may you work in my fields and be safe. Stay in my fields and don't go to any place else. And I've told my men not to bother you. A young, single foreigner working alone in a field could be in trouble. Could be somebody harassing her, bothering her. But Boaz said, nope, no one's going to bother you here. It's a safe place for you to work and to get the little bit that you need to survive. Yeah, he's given her his protection. Remember, he had blessed her earlier. Here, he blessed her and said, may you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. I like that phrase. Under whose wings you've come to take refuge. And that's happening now through Boaz. God is taking care of this woman. Boaz also offered her provision. Now, I don't know this for sure. I'm getting the idea that Boaz is starting to like her a little bit. I don't know. I'm reading between the lines. Because he tells his men here, guys, when Ruth is following behind you, just leave a little extra. Don't do as good a job as you normally do. Leave a little extra for her. So he's taking care of her, providing for her, even there through this whole system, taking care of this young widow and Naomi through her. Proverbs 22 says, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Boaz is doing that, sharing his food with the poor and blessing this woman. Really, we see a picture here of the provision of God. Because remember, Naomi and Ruth don't have anything. They've come, and God's taking care of them through this man named Boaz. When we get to chapter 3, we see the hope of future blessing. And I'm just going to read a few verses here in chapter 3, the first six verses. It says, one day Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, should I not try to find you a home for you where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz, whose servant grows, you've been with, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be in the winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Then go to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you're there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he's lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. Now, that is a really weird story for us. And it just sounds really awkward, strange. But it was a custom in that day that we'll explain here. What Ruth is doing, one of the things she's doing, is asking Boaz for his future protection. You remember, Ruth was a woman of high moral character. Boaz was a man of high moral character. There's nothing in this scene that is wrong or immoral. This was a custom that they did. Ruth did as Naomi told her to do. Boaz was at the threshing floor working with the grain all day long. Then he just sleep. I guess they sleep there, and he's sleeping. She goes up. She gets all dressed up, nice. Goes and pulls the covering away from his feet and lays down at his feet, and just goes to sleep there. I guess. I mean, it sounds strange. Boaz wakes up in the middle of the night, and he's startled to find this young woman laying at his feet. When he finds out it's Ruth, he blesses her. He blesses her. Ruth told him, he said, spread your garment over me since you are the kinsman redeemer. Now earlier, Boaz had said, you have taken refuge under the wings of God. What Ruth is doing here, to cover her with his garment, was symbolic of his protection, his provision. In other words, she is saying, take care of me, protect me. And not only me, but Naomi that I'm representing here, asking for his protection. But it's more than that. It's more than that. Really, she's offering her love to Boaz. It's an invitation to marriage. It really is an invitation to marriage. In that culture, this unusual ceremony was that. You see, it's very unlikely that Boaz, who is probably a generation older than Ruth, would approach her about marriage. So this was a way, this ancient Eastern custom, was a way for the woman to gracefully bring up the idea of marriage. She's making herself available, offering her love to him, and basically telling him, if you want, I will marry you. So she is the one kind of taking the initiative here. You know from when we read on in the story that Boaz completely understands what she's doing. He understands it. He knows that that's what's going on her, that she is offering herself to him to be his wife. And when he hears this, he says, the Lord bless you, my daughter. The kindness is greater than what you showed earlier. You've not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. See, Boaz is shocked that Ruth would offer herself to him. And he agrees to marry her. If he can work it all out with the laws and everything, he agrees right there to accept this proposal. It's interesting, too, that when you read the scripture, you see Naomi's kind of behind all this. She's playing the matchmaker. She knows the custom. She knows the rules. She knows what's going on. She knows that Boaz is a relative, a kinsman, redeemer. And this is the one that we need to appeal to see if this will all work out. And Ruth does what Naomi tells her to do. Boaz also blessed Ruth for her noble character. He tells her, the whole town knows you're a woman of noble character. That's a pretty good reputation, isn't it? The whole town knows about you and knows that you're a person of character, noble character. What a opportunity that is. In Proverbs, it says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth more than rubies. Well, Boaz, this wealthy Jew, has found such a woman. And he's not afraid to take this Moabite woman as his wife because she trusts in God and because of her character and how she's proven herself. Now, it's interesting because God had forbidden the people of Israel to marry Moabites. But the reason God forbade that is because he didn't want them to bring their evil religion with them and influence the people of Israel with this false religion. This, to take Ruth as his wife, is not go against what God said because she's a convert. She already believes in God. She's not bringing a false religion with her. She believes in God and trusts in God, so he's not afraid to take her as his wife. There's another really interesting fact here that you need to know. One reason why he might not be afraid to take Ruth as his wife. When you read the genealogy, you found that Boaz's mother is a lady named Rahab. Ever heard that name? Rahab? Jericho? The lady that was not an Israelite, that was saved when Jericho was destroyed? And Boaz is her son? His mom wasn't a Jew. She was a convert and believed in God, trusted in God. It's interesting. Boaz offers to redeem Ruth. There was a law in Israel, this interesting law called a kinsman redeemer. When someone is widowed, it was the responsibility of the close relative to step in and marry this woman, if they're single, you know, to marry this woman and carry on the family so that this widow would be provided for and her property would be provided for. Sometimes it involved with marrying people. Sometimes they would redeem and buy back property, all to bring it, keep it in the family. Let's keep it in the family. Don't let the family go away. We're going to redeem them and bring it in the family. So Naomi would be redeemed and her family redeemed and her property redeemed if Boaz would redeem them. And in redemption, he would end up marrying Ruth. He wouldn't marry Naomi because Naomi couldn't have kids anymore, but Ruth could have kids and carry on the family. So this whole idea of redemption was a part of the people of Israel. To be a kinsman redeemer, there had to be three things you had to qualify. Number one, you had to be a close relative. In fact, you had to be the closest relative. And if the closest relative, that's why Boaz has to go talk to somebody else in chapter 4 here to see if there's somebody closer that wants to redeem them. You have to be a close relative. Number two, you have to be willing to redeem them. Some people were aware of it, just didn't want to do it because there's some cost and some effort involved. Some people want to do it. Number three, you have to be able to. Able to. Some people want to do it, but they're not able. They don't have the money and resources to redeem anybody and buy things back. Boaz is able. He has all of those. He's a close relative. He's willing and he's able to redeem. So we're going to look in chapter 4 here real quickly, the redemption of Ruth. And again, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but just a few verses. Chapter 4 says, "Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. When the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, 'Come over here, my friend, and sit down.' So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, 'Sit here,' and they did so. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, 'Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here, in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not tell me, so I will know, for no one has a right to do it except you, and I am next in line.' 'I will redeem it,' he said. Then Boaz said, 'On the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property.' At this, the kinsman redeemer said, 'This I can't. Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself.' 'I cannot.' Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to another. That was a method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, 'Buy it yourself,' and he removed his sandal." And going on to chapter verse 13, says, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, 'Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. For he became famous throughout, may he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed, and he was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Interesting story. Boaz became the kinsman redeemer. He went to the gate where the business is done. There's another relative that's closer, and he wanted to make sure if this relative was wanted to redeem the property and take Naomi and Ruth. And the guy says he wants a property, but he doesn't want to marry anybody else, I guess. And so anyway, he says no. And so Boaz is cleared to be the one to be the redeemer, to buy them back. Do you understand what's happening? They are, redeem means to buy back. He's buying them back. They are back in the family. They're back part of the family. Not outcast, but they're part of the family. Now, because of that, they belong in the family. It's a matter of belonging. They're saved from their position of being outcast and destitute and poor, and now they're provided for by this well-off man, Boaz, and really provided by the Lord through Boaz. And Boaz took Ruth to be his wife. He married her. And Ruth went from being a poor foreigner to the wife of a rich landowner, a kind, generous, moral man. Boaz and Ruth, God provided for them greatly. It says they had a son, and they named him Obed. And you saw what I just read in the scripture. They would become the great-grandparents of King David. You see, Ruth's name disappears in the scripture after the book of Ruth until Matthew chapter 1. Boom. And there Ruth shows up again in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. This foreigner who placed her faith in Jesus, placed her faith in God, became part of the family line, the great-grandmother of King David, and one through whom Jesus descended from, Ruth, this Moabite who placed her faith in God. So it's an amazing story. Through her faith, trusting in God, God provided for and took care of her. Well, you know, it's not hard for us to see the gospel in the book of Ruth, isn't it? Because we're like Ruth. We're in need. We need someone to redeem us from an empty way of life to the way of life. I mean, from redeem us from a life of sin to a life of holiness, to forgive us, a redeemer. And we have that in Jesus Christ. Remember the three requisites to be a redeemer? First, you have to be a close relative. Jesus became one of us. He entered our family. He became one of us so that we could be part of his family to redeem us. He was willing. He willingly went to the cross and died for us. And he was able. In fact, Jesus Christ is the only one that's able to be our redeemer. The only one that could buy us back. The only one that could forgive us of our sin. And Jesus died on that cross for our sins. There's a scripture in 1 Peter I want to read before we celebrate communion together. It says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from an empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. So we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. By his own blood he bought us back so we could be a part of his family. Praise the Lord. We're going to celebrate communion together this morning as we close our service. And